You know, I do a lot of these presentations, and I have got to tell you, this is probably the highest quality of information preparation. So to John, Ann, and Jill, thank you for making this all happen. It's incredible. And it's also a little bit of the weirdest version of a real estate program I've ever been to. So far, we've had call outs for spontaneous singing. And there was a guy, I was trying to think of who he reminded me of, and he was up here and all over the place earlier, and he talked about opioids, Oxycontin, and Valium. And I actually wrote these down so I didn't forget them. And blowing lines. He's gone, so I can say this. But he thinks as the market gets better, that's what we do, right? Don't say if he's right. But the last thing he said is, smoke some creeper and drive the school bus. Where is he from? And does he really think that's what happens in Louisiana? Where? There we go. Perfect. He reminds me of Bill Nye, the science guy. He's an economist. I'm amazed at how economists can take all of these disparate pieces of information and turn them into some sort of meaning. And I had the good fortune of spending about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes one-on-one with Dennis Lockhart, the president of the Federal Reserve, not long ago, and we talked about strategy. And I'm going to bring some different opinions about that interest rate issue. And you know, we talk about the economy, and the economy is, you know, ours is a jobs business. As goes the job, so goes the housing market. Well, when I stop into restaurants or morning, noon, or night, having meetings or whatever, it's hard to get a seat in a New Orleans restaurant. It's not easy to get a seat in a Baton Rouge fine dining restaurant. And so I asked Dennis, why is it that if this is a jobless recovery, or in a state that's having tax and economic woes and oil and gas pressure on the, why is it that, he said, gasoline prices are putting $114 a month extra in everybody's pocket. And they're using that to go out to dinner more, go to more movies, buy more tennis shoes. We're spending that money. As Americans, we're not saving that. And he said that's the kind of the visceral view of why the economy looks like it's moving well. Let me get into my presentation. I've said this before, historically, housing leads us into a recession. It can also lead us out of a recession. So I always try to figure out where we are. In terms of the vernacular of our business, most of you know this, but I'm going to define it so we're all on the same page. A buyer's market is something that has over 6 months of inventory, and a seller's market is something that has less than three. In the middle, between three and six, we tend to call that a market that's at equilibrium, or a balanced supply and demand market, but that's what we're going to talk about. I want to start with giving you this other idea. I was in Denver last week, speaking of creeper. How come you know what that is? I've never heard pot called creeper before. But speaking of that, almost $100 million in the last 12 months have gone into Colorado's tax fund because they've controlled the sale of that stuff. So a bunch of us heard that statistic, and we said, we gotta go see what this is like. And we quick ran down the street, and we went into one of these stores with a big green leaf on it. And as we walked in, they gave us a menu. And the first thing they wanna know, flowers are edible? This is a real story. I'm like, first of all, I'm embarrassed to be in there. Secondly, they're asking me if I want gummy bears, chocolate chip cookies, brownies, or flowers of pot. But $99 million of tax revenue, and the other situation that does is it deprives the criminals of money. So it was a very interesting experience. I only say that because you brought up pot, but let's get back on topic. But you know, it's like gambling. I think you know, gambling was only in two places, Atlantic City and Las Vegas. And as people saw the economic benefit, all of a sudden it became a decision. As it became a decision, it spread. And I think we're going to be faced with those same voting situations in this state, not in the not-too-distant future. Let's talk about New Orleans for a second, because I'm going to start this way and work my way in. When I say start this way, I was in Denver last week. I'm going to be in Los Angeles next week. I've been in many places throughout the state talking to large brokerage managers, owners, and directors, and the song remains the same in all of these markets, whether it's the West Coast, East Coast, Northeast. Inventory is a problem. And that inventory, that lack of supply, is driving anomalies in the marketplace. So I'm going to try to get that back into the state of Louisiana and then right here at Baton Rouge as I click through. Since 1988, each one of those marks on the graph represent a quarter worth of information. The top blue line represents the inventory or properties for sale, and the bottom red line represents closed sales. And that's on a unit basis, not a volume basis. But you can see in the oil bust days of 1988, we were coming off of an oversupplied, under-demanded market, then it normalized. And then what happened with Katrina, there you see the supply went up, everybody wants to sell, nobody wants to buy, and we've been working our way back together, to bringing those alligator jaws, as I say, back together ever since for the last 11 years. That's a buyer's market. That big gap is called a buyer's market. 22 months of inventory. And what that means is if another property didn't come on the market, it would have taken 22 months to sell through that market. Okay, here we go. Baton Rouge, this is what Baton Rouge's chart looks like. And you can easily see what happened to the market after Katrina. That's a seller's market. If you had a property to sell, you could do it and do it well. And that's the Mississippi Gulf Coast market. So is anybody from Mississippi, sorry for labeling your market painful, but it is. The buyers and the sellers are in two different places in that marketplace, and it hasn't come back together yet. Again, it's a job story. So let's talk about understanding the market. Where it's headed. I'm going to review just quickly the typical phases of a real estate market. We call a peak phase one in which unit sales are increasing, prices are increasing, and inventory is decreasing. Those three functions, if those three factors are in existence, it's said to be in a peak market. A correction market happens when unit sales turn around and start to decrease, prices are still increasing. Remember when I said housing leads us into and out of the recession? There's a lag effect. So even in a correction market, you see that prices continue to increase. Inventory is increasing as well, and that's a big change. Pretty soon, when unit sales slow, inventory starts to stack up. Now, I'm going to talk to you about some of that, in the market now. The trough market is when unit sales decrease, prices decrease, and inventory continues to increase. Then we have a recovery market, which we went through in about 2011, 2012. Unit sales begin to increase again, prices start to decrease, or continue to decrease, and inventory starts to decrease. We start burning off that inventory. This is where we were last year when I was here. All three in the full-on peak market. So I want to take you through, let me do it this way. We're in the peak market. I want to take you through where we are in Baton Rouge, but I want to tell you that this is the state of the greater New Orleans market. That's a very large market, and they've already shifted from the peak market into the correction market. We have unit sales now decreasing, prices increasing, continuing to increase because there's a lag effect, and then we have inventory starting to mount up. Okay? Now, what was interesting, someone referenced earlier that Lake Charles is in one state, Baton Rouge is in another state of market, but that ground in the middle, that Lafayette ground, is just not performing. Pretty soon what happens, as the marketplace starts to normalize across all the regions, you can't run from a transitioning market. There's been something said several times during this morning, this morning sessions, that we're starting to see changes, we're starting to see the rates soften. rental rates softened. We had some slight decline. And what I believe is that's the beginning.